Yesterday, Shara spent most of the day at our house decorating the Christmas tree and decorating the house, getting ready for Christmas. I put up the Christmas lights outside, so I'd like for everybody to drive by the house and tell me how good they look. We were preparing for Christmas. Most of you have done something similar, I'm sure, in the last few weeks, and in the coming days and weeks, we'll all do something to prepare for Christmas. And I was thinking about that this past week or so, and for some reason I got to thinking about Simeon in Luke chapter 2. Christmas, what we celebrate as Christmas, was the birth of Jesus Christ. It was the first advent, the first coming of Jesus, the Messiah. When we read about Simeon, we see that he was prepared for the coming of the Messiah. He was prepared for that first advent. What I want to talk about this morning is that we live in the time between the first coming and the second coming of Jesus Christ. And we need to be preparing for the second Christmas, if you will, the second coming of Jesus Christ. I want to read Luke chapter 2. I'm going to start in verse 25, just read a few verses. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared for the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. We need to be what Simeon was. We need to do what Simeon did as we prepare and wait for the second coming of Jesus Christ. The first thing I want you to notice about Simeon was that he was waiting. Verse 25 says, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. Simeon had lived all of his life, however long it was, I don't know how old he was, I don't have any idea, but he had lived all of his life before the coming of the Messiah. But he was waiting. Somewhere in his lifespan, God spoke to him, the Holy Ghost spoke to him and told him that he would not die until he had seen the Christ child, seen Jesus Christ. And so he was waiting. Now, we like that, don't we? If I was to tell you this morning, boy, we need to wait. We all, oh man, listen, Pastor, I can wait. Boy, I can sit on this pew and wait and wait and wait. That's not the kind of waiting that Simeon did. Did you notice the words in that verse where it says that he was just and devout? Simeon was actively waiting for the promise of the coming of the Messiah. The first part of that, being just, has little to do with us and everything to do with God. Being just is God's part. Acts chapter 13, verses 38 and 39 says, be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, that is Jesus, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. When we confess our sins, God forgives us of our sins, and he makes us just. It's like a legal declaration, like the judge is pounding the gavel, and God declares us just, and he regards us as just. He looks at us just as if we had never sinned. That's the work of God. I can't do that. Even this passage of Scripture says the law couldn't do that. Our works can't do that. I can't do it. Nobody can do it. But God can and God does. God makes us just. If you're here this morning and you're a Christian, you are justified by God. Amen. So you got half of this down, just and devout. We got the just part down. Somebody else did that for us. It's the devout part that's our job to do. As we prepare and as we wait for the second coming of Jesus Christ, we need to be devout. So how to, you know, what makes you devout? Simeon was just and devout. That's great. What made him just and devout? Well, by being faithful to God, by being obedient to the Word of God, that makes us devout. I want to mention three things this morning. You know, I always got three things, right? I want to mention three things. First of all, we are devout when we are faithful to study the Word of God. Simeon knew about the prophecies regarding the Messiah because he had studied the Word of God. He had studied the prophecies regarding the Messiah. And I want you to know something that's much more difficult for Simeon than it is for us. The Word of God was not in mass production then like it is now. Only a portion of it even existed. It hadn't all been written yet. The average Jew, the common Jew, however you want to say it, had to rely on the priest to tell him what the Word of God said. Had to rely on those religious leaders to tell him. So they had to come to church on the Sabbath day. That was the only way they could hear the Word of God. No TV, no radio, nothing else. But Simeon had managed to hear. He had managed to listen. He had managed to study. He knew the prophecies about the Messiah. That's why he was looking for the Messiah. I hear people all the time, and Christians are included in this, say, well, you know, I just don't know what to do. I just wish God would tell me what to do. Well, I got news for you, folks. He wrote a book telling you what to do. If you're smart and you buy some piece of furniture from the store and it's got instructions to put it together, most of us guys aren't too smart. You read the instructions, right? You'd be crazy not to. Listen, these are the instructions for life. You're crazy if you don't read them. We need to study the Word of God. He gives us direction. He gives us the things that He tells us what we need to do. He offers us salvation. All of these things. He offers us relationship. It's all right here in the Word of God, and we need to read it. And those who are devout are not only read the Word of God, they are faithful to read and study and assimilate the Word of God into their life. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of the truth. We know it, right? You all know that verse. We all know that verse. We need to do it. To be devout, we have to be faithful to the study of the Word of God. To be devout, we have to be faithful to the worship of God, privately and publicly with others. I think I must have said something last week about church attendance, and I must have sounded like I was scolding you a little bit. I didn't mean to, but I had a couple of people after service say, well, you should have told that to the people who aren't here. Well, I can't tell them if they're not here. When the Holy Ghost, I want you to pay attention to what the Bible says. When the Holy Ghost spoke to Simeon and told him to go to the temple, I want you to notice what he did not do. He did not ask for directions because he knew where it was because he had been there before. He didn't call to see what time services were because he knew when they were. He had been there before. When he walked through the door, the people didn't greet him like a visitor and ask him to fill out a visitor's card because he had been there before. The pastor was not shocked to see Simeon come through the doors because Simeon was a regular. I know he was a regular attender of the worship service because he was devout. And devout people regularly attend the worship of God. Can I tell you a little secret? I want to tell you a secret. There are some folks, you know, we have this worship roster. Some of you have been helping me with that. We were updating it and trying to get it more up to date because, thank the Lord, we've got new people since the last time we did it. And did you know that there's some people on that worship roster? I have their address and their phone number, sometimes two or three phone numbers with cell phones. I have them memorized because I type them out every week on the absentee list. I got to tell you, sometimes that breaks my heart. Sometimes it makes me mad. I'll be honest with you this morning. It just aggravates me. I'm just thinking, why don't those people come? Sometimes it breaks my heart. I'm thinking, oh, what they're missing. Some of you are thinking right now, I wonder if he's got mine memorized. devout people are faithful to attend the worship of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It does, honestly, it does aggravate me. It does make me mad sometimes when people say, well, Pastor, I just can't come to church. It's just this or just that, or I just don't feel good, or I just this, or I just slept late, or company came, or the ball game starts at 11:30 and you won't get us out. Yes, I will. Jesus Christ spread His arms and died on the cross of Calvary for us. He gave us 7 days in a week, 24 hours in a day, and He invites us to come 3 hours out of that week to worship Him. It's a shame that those who call His name, claim His salvation, can't spend 3 hours in public corporate worship of their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I understand when you're sick and you can't come, I got it. If you're contagious, stay home. I don't understand anything else. Those who are devout are also faithful to worship God privately. This is not the only time we worship God. We worship Him with all of our lives, 24/7. If we're devout, we are faithful to worship God. Those who are devout are also faithful to obey God. Again, verse 27, it says, and He came by the Spirit into the temple. The Holy Spirit spoke to Simeon somehow. I don't know how He did it. I don't know if He heard a voice or just felt impressed or whatever it was. But the Holy Spirit spoke to Simeon and told him to go to the temple. It seems like, from the wording, it seems like this might have been an unusual time to go. Because normally, in the normal process of the week, at the normal times, Simeon is going to go. He's going to be there anyway. But the Spirit spoke to him and said, I want you to go now. Maybe he had just been there and left. Maybe he was walking home and the Spirit said, turn around and go back. I hope you got a key if that happens. Maybe it wasn't a regular service time. Maybe nothing was going on. The temple was open, but really there was nothing happening. But the Spirit said, Simeon, I want you to go. Well, the Spirit said go, so he went. Again, the Bible is full of instructions for us. The Bible is full of commands for us. And the Holy Spirit speaks to us and He illumines our minds so that we can understand what is written. And He gives us direction. He gives us instruction. He gives us commands. And so we need to just do it. Obey. Devout Christians obey the Word of God. Devout Christians are faithful to study the Word of God. Devout Christians are faithful to attend the worship of God publicly and to worship God privately. And so somebody says, well, Pastor, I don't want to be a devout Christian. It takes too much time, too much energy. Listen, all I really want to do is just go to heaven. Can I tell you something? You can be a devout Free Will Baptist and not come to church. You can be a devout Baptist. You can be a devout Lutheran. You can be a devout Catholic. You can be all those. You can be devout in about anything you want to do and not be committed, not give it your all. But you cannot be a Christian and not be devout. It takes commitment. It takes all of our life. It takes all of our being. Every aspect. Work, home, family, relationships, everything, money, talents, time, all that we are, everything that we are, it takes it all. And there is no Christian who is loving and serving the Lord and in right relationship with God who is not devout. There's no part way doing this, folks. There's no half in and half out. There's no sometime and not this time. It's all or nothing with the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't give part of His life. He didn't shed part of His blood. He didn't offer salvation to part of the people. He gave it all. And He offers it to all. And He expects all in return. He demands all in return. And if we're going to serve Him, if we're going to be Christians, if we're going to go to heaven, He's going to get it all. The next thing I want you to notice about Simeon, it's getting quiet, so I better move on, is that he was listening and looking. He was listening to the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit spoke, he heard it because he was listening for the Holy Spirit. God is speaking to us. God speaks to His people all the time. He speaks to me. He speaks to you. He speaks to all of His people all over the world. He does it through His Word. The problem, we don't hear Him because we're not listening. That's just the honest truth. We read the Bible and we don't expect God to speak to us, so we don't hear. When we read His Word, we need to listen for Him to speak. We get busy, don't we? We get worried about the things of life, and it drowns out the voice of God. And we get busy with jobs and succeeding and or whatever, family or whatever it might be, and it drowns out the voice of God. Or we get our own selfishness in the way, our own desires in the way, and it drowns out the voice of God. Psalm 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." Those words, "be still," means calm down. What do you tell your kids when your kids are running around yelling and screaming and playing and having a big time, and you want them to do something, and you tell them once and they don't hear you, and you tell them twice, and finally you say, "Listen, be still." That's what God told us. Psalm 46:10. Here we are, God, the children of God, running around and carrying on and not paying any attention. He says, "Listen, be still and know that I am God. Listen to me." Oh boy, this is the time of year when we get busy, isn't it? I came to church this morning and I realized I'd already forgotten two or three things. It's not even December yet. Calm down. Be still. Listen for the voice of God. Do you remember when God spoke to Elijah in the Old Testament? It was with a still, small voice. Listen, sometimes God shouts to get our attention. Sometimes He has to shout to get our attention. But more often than not, God speaks to us quietly because He wants us to be listening for His voice. The other thing I want you to notice about Simeon was that he was looking for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he went to the temple at the direction of the Holy Spirit. Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus went to the temple because it was the time for them to offer the sacrifice for the purification for Mary, because she had given birth to a baby boy. So they went according to a timetable. Simeon went according to the Holy Spirit. Mary and Joseph, therefore, didn't know what was about to happen. They did not know that God was about to fulfill a promise to Simeon. So when they walked into the temple, they did not bring baby Jesus up to Simeon and say, "Here he is." But Simeon knew that something was about to happen. The Holy Spirit had spoken to him. So he came. Oh, I love this. He came expecting something. So he was looking. And he saw the baby Jesus. And I think somehow in that moment, the Holy Spirit spoke to him again and said, "That's him." You know, maybe he was looking for a grown man. I don't know. But he knew this baby was the Christ child. And so he went to them and he took the Christ child in his arms so that the promise could be fulfilled. Do you come to church expecting something to happen? You know, you've heard me say this before, and you've heard other people say this before, and you may be the ones who've said this before, and I have too. When you get in a car and head home, "Well, I just didn't get anything out of that service today. By the way, I didn't put anything in it either." You know, we come to church and we don't expect anything except to get out about 11:30. That's all we expect. That's all we get. We get out about 11:30. We're coming to worship God. We're gathering with the people of God. We're singing the praises of God. We're hearing, or at least the Word of God is being spoken. We should come expecting God to speak to us. We should come expecting God to challenge us. We should come expecting God to give us a job and then go out and do it. But we don't get it because we don't expect it. Simeon could have gone to the temple that day, and even though the Holy Spirit had spoken to him, he could have gone not expecting a thing. He could have gone and sat down on the front row and waited for Mary and Joseph to bring Jesus to him. But they didn't know, and he would have missed it. But he went expecting, and he went active, and he went looking. And when he saw, he did something about it. We need to be looking for the Lord Jesus Christ in our worship services. We need to be looking for Him in our lives. Listen, God is doing something in your life every single day. Every single minute of every single day that the Holy Spirit is present with you and He's moving in your life. And we don't see because we're not looking, and we don't hear because we're not listening. We need to be looking for Jesus right now, today, this very moment. And we need to be looking for Him to split the eastern sky someday, because He said He would. And as near as I can tell, all the signs point that that day is soon. Simeon was looking, and Simeon was listening, and so Simeon saw and Simeon heard. He was prepared for the coming of the Messiah. The last thing I want you to notice about Simeon was that he was trusting. None of this has been easy. I'll just be honest with you. None of this has been easy. Sometimes it's not easy to be devout, is it? Sometimes it's not easy to be faithful. I don't think it was supposed to be easy all the time. Sometimes it's not easy to be listening, because we do get busy and the world is noisy. It's not easy to be looking, because we are distracted and we do want to just come in and sit down and let somebody else do things. It's never easy to be trusting, is it? Simeon was trusting. I said before, I don't know how old Simeon was when God spoke to him, and I don't know how old Simeon was when the promise was fulfilled. And I don't know how long it was in between. But for however long it was, Simeon trusted that God would keep his word. He said he would do it, and Simeon trusted that God would do it. He also trusted something else. Look at verses 28 through 32. Then he, that's Simeon, took him, Jesus, up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace. In other words, let me die and go on, because you fulfilled your promise according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared for the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Simeon trusted that God would do with the Messiah what God promised he would do with the Messiah. Simeon trusted that this little baby boy, probably about 40 days old, would be a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of Israel. He trusted that God would keep his word. A few weeks ago, I'm coming. It just takes me a minute. A few weeks ago, I got a call from somebody. Asking me to pray about something. A situation, a circumstance, a problem in their life, and they wanted me to pray about it. So I told them I would, so I started praying every day for that particular thing. It's been, I don't know, it's maybe a month ago, something like that. A few days ago, that very same person was talking to me, and God answered my prayer. And I was surprised, and I'm ashamed to tell you that. I was praying, I was hoping, I was believing that God could, but I wasn't trusting that God would do it. Simeon was trusting that God would let him see his Messiah. And Simeon was trusting that God would do with the Messiah what he promised he would do. God has promised peace and protection and provision and guidance and strength and grace and a whole bunch of things to his children. We need to trust that he'll keep his word. I mean, we need to believe that he will do it. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. We memorize that verse. We quote that verse. We claim that verse, but we don't trust that God will fulfill the promise of that verse. I know that's true, because we try to work it all out on our own, don't we? And then we worry and we fret over the strangest things and over the smallest things, because we're really not trusting God to work these things out for our good. John chapter 14, verses 2 and 3, Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I will come again." And we need to trust that Jesus is coming again. And because we trust His Word, we need to prepare. We need to be ready. We need to be devout. We need to be faithful and obedient. Would you stand with me this morning? I'm just going to have Shara come and play a song. Bow your heads and close your eyes. Be as quiet as you can for just a moment. Christian, are you devout? I'm going to tell you something. If you're a Christian, you're devout. Are you faithful? Are you being faithful and obedient to God in every aspect of your life? If you're not, listen, this is the time, this is the moment to correct it. Tell God you're sorry, repent, whatever you need to do, and then change it. Repentance is change, not just confession, it's change. Now, maybe you're here this morning and you're not a Christian. Maybe you've told people you are. Maybe you've told yourself you are. But you know somewhere deep inside your being, you know that's not true. Can I just tell you, you need to prepare for the second coming of Jesus Christ. And the way to prepare is to confess your sins and ask Jesus to forgive you. He'll do that because He loves you. He died for you. And He'll forgive you, but you've got to confess. You must confess. Would you do that this morning? You come while Shara plays.